Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, it's finally here. Week one of the NFL season. Lions get to kick it off on Thursday night at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. I bring that up, although everybody who's listening is quite aware of what's afoot.
I think, you know, everybody is like, I mean, beyond just even the people listening, like this is the game that kicks off the whole NFL season. So I anticipate a pretty vast audience to be watching at home. The stadium in Kansas City, of course, is going to be rocking because they're raising the banner. And so it's going to be, I think, a very highly anticipated matchup because it's two teams. You know, the old adage that only one team is happy at the end of the year, right? You could argue that the Chiefs and the Lions were the only two teams that were kind of happy at the end of the year. Now, granted, the Lions weren't happy because they didn't make the playoffs, but the way they ended, that's as close to happy as I guess you're going to get in NFL terms without winning the whole thing.
Yeah, I guess. But like I mean, there's some bittersweetness to it. They did miss the playoffs.
Yes. Yes.
We're hoping for a Seahawk loss, you know, mm-hmm. and they didn't get that. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's ancient history at this point. So let's talk about we're first going to talk about the final 53-man roster going into this game against the Chiefs, and then we'll do a little preview of the Chiefs. So kind of an odd setup for the Lions. They kept 21 players on offense, 29 on defense. There was some surprising cuts. There were a lot of not surprising cuts. We'll go position by position like we always do, starting with quarterbacks. Kept Jared Goff, of course. Kept Teddy Bridgewater. Got rid of Nate Sudfeld, but did bring – well, they didn't get rid of him because he tore his ACL in the third preseason game. So he had to go on the shelf. Surprisingly, cut Adrian Martinez and brought back David Blau to be on the practice squad.
Yeah, the Sudfeld thing is – you know, it's a bad situation for Sudfeld because he won't be able to play this season because they placed him on IR before cuts. At the same time, it's a decent situation for the Lions because one, they have to pay a salary. And because they have to pay a salary, they're still going to expect him to be employed, which means they're still going to have him available once he's healthy, which means they're going to get him in the room. In the quarterback room, they're going to get him breaking down film. They're going to get more eyes on Jared Goff at practice. And it's just going to be another body to help them with the offense. And so could be a blessing in disguise for the Lions, even though they have to pay a little bit extra cap. They actually are going to get another quarterback in the room that can act in a way to help them with game prep. So in the end, I think it's a tougher deal for Nate Sudfeld, but you know, Lions will probably make out, you know, at the end of this thing. Blau coming back, I guess I wasn't as surprised as I think a lot of people were, just because they tried to get David Blau on the practice squad last year, right? Like this was a guy
to the Vikings.
Yeah, this was a guy that they've wanted in a practice squad type role. They, you know, they can use him as a scout team quarterback. He's a guy who understands the system. So didn't surprise me too much. I definitely think he's a better quarterback than Adrian Martinez. And I know there are Adrian Martinez fans out there, but I don't think Adrian is near where Blau is and being able to contribute to the team right now. And that's really what it's all about. It's about, do you have people, whether they're players or coaches or whoever, guys on the practice squad, that can contribute towards this team winning week to week to week?
Yeah, and Blau himself is probably wishing he ended up being the Cardinals starting quarterback. Also mention Hendon Hooker's on the non-football injury list, but that's only because he suffered the injury in college and not the Lions. We all know that if they can get him available later in the season, they will, but
yep.
It's probably the last we're going to talk about Hendon Hooker for a few weeks. All right. Running backs. Now, memory serves me correctly. They only kept Kabinda, David Montgomery, and Jahmyr Gibbs, right? They did release Craig Reynolds at one point, but now Craig Reynolds is back and on the 53-man roster. And then they don't keep Jamar Jefferson or Ibrahim, but they released Ibrahim with the injury settlement.
Yeah.
And they didn't keep Snell or the other fellow.
Ozigbo. Yep.
But they brought in Zonovan Knight from the Jets practice squad, or from the Jets. It was cut from the Jets, right?
So Craig didn't have any guaranteed money. And as a vested veteran, he could be released and then didn't have to go through waivers. So the Lions basically wanted to sneak Julian Aquara through the initial cuts to get him on IR so that Julian can return later in the season, no sooner than week 5, but they wanted to get him through. Craig provided them an opportunity with his contract and his veteran status to get released and then come back to the team a couple of days later. I think that was the plan all along. I'm sure Craig thought that was the plan all along. Zonovan Knight actually was the starting Jets running back the week that the Lions played the Jets last year. And the fact that now the Lions can put Zonovan Knight on their practice squad is an upgrade to all the other guys that they had, in my opinion. And so they have a 4-man backfield, and then another 5th guy on the practice squad that I think are all capable.
All right, wide receiver group, the 5 that made it to the 53-man: Josh Reynolds, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Khalif Raymond, Marvin Jones Jr. None of those are any surprises at all. 5th receiver ends up being Antoine Green. So no Dylan Drummond, no Maurice Alexander, no Chase Cota. You know, Antoine Green. And of course it's because they liked his upside. They drafted him in the first place. So it's really not a surprise. It's a good thing they were able to bring back Drummond and Maurice Alexander on the practice squad and added Darius Fountain, which is kind of surprising that they didn't keep Cota and brought Fountain in.
Yeah. I was a bit, that surprised me as well. I think Green made the team mostly because he was the best special teamer of the rookies. And so, like you said, they invested in him. They liked his long speed. They think he can stretch the field. They like his long-term developmental arc and, like I said, immediate special teams contribution. So he was the guy that I thought was playing the best out of the bunch. I do like Drummond a ton, and I thought he was right there with him. But Drummond is a bit repetitive to St. Brown and Khalif Raymond, which is why I think he ends up on the practice squad instead of the 53.
All right, tight end group, we don't really have to talk about it at all. Sam Laporta, Brock Wright, James Mitchell. It's what we forecasted all along because it's Zylstra's injury that has him on IR for the whole year. They had Helm and Daniels. They released them both. They kept Daryl Daniels, though, on the practice squad.
Yep. That was scripted, I think, for about a month before the cutdowns.
Yeah, the best guess, you know, it's the best guess, right? Yep. That out of all these groups, that's the one you definitely had right. All right, offensive line. No surprise, the starting 5, Taylor Decker, Jonah Jackson, Frank Ragnow, Hal Vitae, Pede Sewell, Graham Glasgow made the team, and Colby Sorsdahl. Neither of those are surprises. Matt Nelson making the team as the 8th offensive lineman really isn't a big surprise, but we put some question marks on it a few weeks back. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't.
Yeah, I do think these were the 8 that most people thought were going to end up making the team. Effetti was a guy who they thought a lot of people thought might stick, myself included. I thought if he might stick, he gets immediately signed by the Bills, and now he's on the Bills 53-man roster.
Yeah, he might start. He'll end up starting.
So I thought Effetti was playing well, but I did think this team preferred Matt Nelson, even though, like I said, Effetti was probably playing better. Matt Nelson, again, is someone they're familiar with, and they know what he's capable of. Glasgow, I think, is going to be the 6th guy. I think it's going to be Hal Vitae at guard. The coaching staff still won't confirm which one is starting, but I'm going to guess Hal Vitae is going to start, and then we'll see if I'm wrong, but you know, maybe Graham is going to do something because stranger things have happened this week.
Practice squad, Connor Galvin, a little bit of surprise, especially after the release of Effetti. Mm-hmm. Coyote Awosika, not a surprise. He was around all last year. He got a couple starts in, and we'll probably see him play in a game or two this year. Michael Neese, the right guard. This is a guy they picked up from somewhere else, you know, after having a more than three groupings of offensive linemen in training camp here, they went out and got Neese. And then Max Purcher, who, not a surprise they kept him because they're allowed to keep him because of the foreign player exemption thing. Obina Eze, gone. No surprising.
Yeah, Connor Galvin is this year's Obina Eze. Connor Galvin had a signing bonus with the Lions, or a guarantee. He had $175,000 guaranteed. That was close to what Obina got as a rookie. I think he got like $190,000. So they obviously thought highly of Galvin at Baylor. He got better, I think, as the preseason went on, as training camp went on. You saw him repping pretty consistently ahead of Azay. And so I guess it's not overly surprising to see him at left tackle, but it is surprising to not see Azay return in any capacity, because that was someone that I thought they really liked. For example, bringing in Neese instead of keeping Azay was a bit surprising to me.
I should mention, going back to the wide receiver group, Jameson Williams on the suspended list. You know, everybody knows that, but I've been trying to name off everybody that, you know, is still kind of with the team. Anyhow, flipping over the defensive side of the ball, defensive tackles were the big news coming from this week. Aleem McNeil, Isaiah Bugs, Levi Onwuzurike, Benito Jones, Broderick Martin. Those are the five that made the 53-man. Chris Smith making the practice squad, and Quentin Bohanna, who was not with the team for most of training camp. He's the other practice squad defensive tackle. So Isaiah Bugs this week pulled all of his Lions stuff off of his social media, you know, and created a big buzz. You know, I don't know if that was his plan, but it's what ended up happening. There's a lot of assumptions that he was being traded to the Chiefs for Chris Jones. That's obviously not happening now. We found out from Isaiah himself that he's just he's not playing. They're not going to activate him for Thursday's game as of this moment, right? Anything can change.
Yep.
And so he's probably pretty bummed out about that.
Well, you know, after game three, remember, he was playing in the third quarter of game three. So
I asked him, like, isn't that kind of weird that he's out there still?
Yeah. And I did say that, you know, that is a red flag to me, right? And I talked about it on the post-game POD show that I did. And I guess this is really what it is. That's what it was about. It was about him not playing at the level that they wanted. And they decided to go in a different direction, at least for this game. We'll see if it carries over beyond. But it looks like they're going to bump him down to defensive tackle five. And, you know, I don't think Bugs was bad. I think it was more about him kind of staying and the other guys elevating their games. Cause I think Benito elevated his game. You know, we saw multiple sacks in multiple games from him. We saw Onwuzurike really starting to flash as the preseason went on.
And his back could disintegrate at any moment.
It's crazy. Did you read the story that the story that he wrote via the Lions about how he went through the back surgery and how he had to make the decision? It was a pretty interesting story.
I did my own Cliff Notes version of it, but I didn't read the whole thing. Yep.
It's another reminder about, you know, the fact that sometimes it gets lost that these are people, you know what I mean? And he had to go through some tough decisions, and you know, he looks healthy now. And so can he return to form? I think that's, you know, something we'll figure out soon enough. Bohanna is interesting to me because he is 360 pounds. And so he was with the Cowboys, and he was playing games for him last year. I think he played in 10 games last year. And essentially what they did with Bohanna, the Cowboys, was that if they were playing a team that ran the ball, they'd play him like 30, 40% of the time. And if they were playing a team that didn't run the ball as often, that he would just stay on the bench. And so for a game against like the Chiefs, he's a guy who, you know, he's not a guy that's going to be called up from the practice squad. Let's this week, let's put it that way.
All right, so that's it for the defensive tackles. The one thing about Bugs, you know, we both kind of like Bugs, but at the same time,
yeah,
that run defense was terrible last year. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like they got to do something to shake things up. I don't know. And they're not going to bench McNeil. Obviously, they see him as a leader. They have a lot of high hopes for him as his career blossoms. All right, defensive ends.
I was going to say, in this Chiefs game, I do wonder if we're going to see more defensive ends inside trying to push around. The Chiefs have some really good interior defensive linemen. So, I'm sorry, interior offensive linemen. So, I wouldn't be surprised if the Lions are going to try and put guys who are faster up against them in order to try and get an advantage.
Yeah, and the Lions, you know, they got to make a splash here on Thursday in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. The defending Super Bowl champions and arguably still the most talented team in the NFL. So, like, Lions are going to have to do some wacky stuff. You know, they probably don't stand a great chance if they play the game straight up. You know, like, luckily they have an offensive coordinator who's going to be creative, and they're probably going to have to be a little creative on defense to try to make something happen and just not allow Mahomes to pick them apart. All right, the ends. Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Pascal, Romeo Okwara, Charles Harris, John Kaminsky, James Houston. We talked in the last podcast where you and I were together. You did one alone in the interim. Talked about having those six plus Julian Okwara making the team. You kind of explained earlier how they still shoehorn Julian Okwara onto this team. He's just on injured reserve. So none of those six making the team as a surprise. This surprise is bringing in Raymond Johnson to be on the practice squad.
He had really good preseason with the Bengals. And he was a guy that was a bit of a surprise cut and a guy that the Bengals wanted back. So it's like Darius Fountain. It was the same way. Darius Fountain, the receiver, we kind of skipped over him, but he had a nice preseason with the Bears, and that was a guy the Bears wanted back, and the Lions end up landing both of these guys. We'll see. I don't know when we're going to be able to tell like how they fit into the roster, because we're limited in what we can see during practice. We don't get to see them, you know, practicing. We just get to see them like warming up. And so we won't see these guys unless they get elevated, and then maybe we'll get a better, you know, assertion of what they can do. But at this stage, you know, all we can do is look at their preseason and say, hey, the talent was there, and they looked like they were pretty good in the preseason. Will that translate? You know, we'll just have to wait and find out and see if they get called up at any point.
Linebacker group: Alex Anzalone, Jack Campbell, Derek Barnes, Malcolm Rodriguez, Jalen Reeves-Maben, Anthony Pittman. So this one's a bit of a surprise that it isn't, in the respect that those six guys make the team. You could argue that also that a combination of those guys would make the team. We just thought it would be five linebackers instead of
seven.
Trevor Nowaski on the practice squad. That is no surprise.
Yeah. So all seven guys that they ran training camp with are all back in some capacity. You know, they've kept six off the ball linebackers every year of the Holmes Campbell regime. So it really shouldn't be a surprise, I guess. I went back and forth on my 53 man projections with Anthony Pittman on the team, off the team, but he's such a good special teamer that, like, I think even last year when they released him, they realized pretty quickly they needed to use him. They elevated him from the practice squad three times and then signed him in week four. So, like, he never was, even though he was not on the initial roster, he was still a big part of what they were doing. I don't think they even wanted to mess around with it this time. They were just like, let's just keep him on. He's earned it. And the six linebackers you're going to see contributions on defense from at least four, maybe five, and I would say all but Anzalone will be contributing on special teams in some capacity. So it's a deeper group than we've ever seen. And so I think it played out kind of like we expected.
Not that it really matters, because they're going to play regardless. Do you think Derek Barnes is going to take the majority of snaps at the mic position, or do you think it'll be Jack Campbell on Thursday?
I think they're going to start with Derek, but I don't know how you can keep Jack off the field for too long. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they 50-50 that type of thing. You know what I mean? Because Derek was a guy who looked better in camp, but Jack just, when he flashes, he flashes. And he was, right. And he did a lot of that. It's a matter of time. Yeah, I think it's a matter of time before Jack ends up being the starter. But I think Derek has probably earned it for now.
All right. Corners, Cameron Sutton, Stephen Gilmore, Brian Branch, Will Harris, Jerry Jacobs, Emmanuel Mosley, Khalil Dorsey. I probably should have left out off the nickel guys, but so
it's okay.
Chase Lucas cut. It almost killed you. You were on watch there for a while. Luckily, Chase Lucas has been brought back on the practice squad. He's still in the fold. Mosley, I think a little bit of a surprise is Mosley's available for week one, right? Mm. Or on the 53-man roster.
Yeah, off the pup list.
Jacobs and Sutton, obviously not a surprise. Will Harris, not a surprise. Brian Branch, definitely not a surprise. Here's what many of you believe is your defensive rookie of the year in the NFL. It
could be. Yeah, he's amazing.
Stephen Gilmore and Khalil Dorsey both making the team over Chase Lucas and the fact that both of them made the team.
Yeah, you know, I think Dorsey really – all three of them are fast. And I think you need fast corners against Kansas City. And all three contributed on special teams as well. All three of them produced turnovers in the final game. Like, how the thing that I think probably separated them is that Chase is mostly an inside guy. And right now, Will Harris has been shifted inside because he wasn't playing as high of a level on the outside as he was inside. So they put him in the best situation possible. I do think that's probably what ended up leading to Lucas getting bumped. I was surprised that Starling got cut.
Yeah, that's the big one. He'll probably be in the Cardinals starting lineup.
Yeah, he very well could be. He gets claimed after cuts. Again, not surprising there because I thought he was the best of the four that were competing for the couple of spots. In my 53-man projection, I had Lucas, Starling, and I think Gilmore. I can't remember. But then they ended up not keeping either of the two guys that I thought were better. So, you know, they made their choices, and I think special teams weighs in on that. I preferred the other two guys. It's just my preference. I think they all played at a high enough level that you have to be happy with the depth of where they are. But I do think keeping Dorsey over Lucas and Thomas is something that I'm going to have a hard time understanding unless Dorsey, you know, really shows out in the regular season.
Do you think they use Dorsey as return man? We're going to see a little bit of that.
It's possible. I really don't know. I do think it could be either him or it could be like Craig Reynolds, right? I don't think it's a position that's being used as frequent, or they're not expecting it to be used as frequent. And so I'm not exactly 100% sure which direction they're going to be going with the kick returner at this point.
We're going to play a little game, which might be a non-starter after we go through the safety group. So CJ Gardner-Johnson, Kirby Joseph, Tracy Walker, Ify Melifonwu on the 53-man. Brandon Joseph is on the practice squad. Not surprising.
Mm-mm. No, that's kind of how we expected. The only question mark really there was Ify injured enough that he would also be put on IR. Turns out he's not. And he has a hamstring injury, but he's been practicing in full this week. And so I think he's a guy who's probably going to be the starting gunner opposite of Dorsey. So like the gunner roles, I think, will fall to those two guys.
Brady Breeze gone. Savion Smith gone. Who was having a pretty decent training camp.
Well, remember Savion got injured, and so that he got released with an injury settlement. So I think that really was that injury in game two is was really the catalyst to him not having a shot at the 53. Will he return when he gets healthy, a la CJ Moore? It's possible. Yeah, you know.
They're going to need guys. As we learn every year, a lot of these guys reappear.
Yeah, so I'm not ruling him out later. Maybe a practice squad spot opens up or something. But, yeah, his injury was just unfortunate, very unfortunate timing for Savion.
All right, special teams, Jack Fox, the punter, Scott Daly, long snapper, Riley Patterson, the kicker. The only kind of surprising thing is they boot John Parker Romo to the curb instead of trying to develop him on the practice squad. Bring back Michael Badgley in case in case things go bad for Riley Patterson.
Now that was a little surprising, but at the end of the day, he's a veteran who's kicked with the team, kicked well for the team last year. Neither of them really have a big leg, but at the same time, they're pretty accurate and they know where they're at, you know, from shorter distances. And the coaching staff knows exactly what they can do and what they can't do. So having a kicker and then insurance, I think that's a good option for them to have Badgley on the practice squad.
All right. The mini game I wanted to play.
Okay.
Is we have a 53 man roster. Mm-hmm. 46 are going to dress on Thursday. Yeah. What seven do you think aren't going to dress out of the 53 man? Now this gets interesting because what if there's no Travis Kelce playing because he hyperextended his knee?
Yeah.
Right. He's up in the air. I think they're kind of just, you know, that Reed's playing coy. Oh, maybe he's not going to play, but I think he's going to play. Why is he not going to play? You know, well, that has to be a pretty bad knee.
Yeah, it's swollen right now. And essentially what they've said or what, you know, the belief is that if the swelling reduces, they'll test it. And then if the swelling goes down and he can move, then he'll play. But if he stays swollen and it limits what he can do, then he may not play. And I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, he didn't have any structural tearing or anything like that. But right now, currently, his knee is swollen to a point that it would keep him out of the game. And, you know, 48 hours from now, maybe he's ready to go. But at the same time, who knows? Maybe not. Seven.
So Isaiah Bugs number one. I think the big thing
you have to look at. Okay, so first of all, they're going to keep 8 offensive linemen, so that's going to give them a chance to keep 2 extra guys, right? And as long as they don't elevate anybody, then they'll only have to reduce 5 guys off the roster. If they elevate a couple of guys, then they're going to have to reduce, you know, 6, maybe 7 guys, depending on who, if they elevate anyone. But
all right, well then let's play the easy.
So let's just do 5. I think
Bugs
is one. The hard part is you have so few players on offense, like you might have to just cut, like make inactive all your defenders, right?
Right.
I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think it could be like Stephen Gilmore. Could sit.
I would say one of the corners.
Yeah.
I would say if Travis Kelce doesn't play, Will Harris doesn't play.
It's possible. Yeah. I think you could maybe sit either Will or Iffy.
Brent Moore, maybe.
I think it wouldn't be surprising to see Romeo. So like Romeo, Isaiah, one of Iffy and Will, Stephen Gilmore, and then maybe Antoine Green. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's him. Like, we're not stamping this.
Yeah, we're just spitballing here.
Yeah, I do think you could take 2 guys off the defensive line, 2 guys off this out of the secondary, and then, yeah, maybe a receiver. Maybe you just roll with 4 because you have 3 running backs, 3 tight ends, and got a couple of really good pass catchers at those positions. So you can roll with just 4. So that'd be my guess. Green and then the other guys.
All right. Let's talk about the game. So Lions are playing the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday. They went 14-3 last season, won the Super Bowl, in a solid contest against the Philadelphia Eagles. They return Andy Reid. They return a lot of their team. They don't return their offensive coordinator, but you know, does it really matter? They bring in the Bears' Matt Nagy to replace Eric Bieniemy, but you know, Andy Reid's still calling the shots.
So Nagy was the offensive coordinator before Bieniemy, and then Nagy leaves to go to the Bears, and then the Bears fire him. And last year he comes back to the Chiefs and he's in an assistant consultant role or something like that. And quarterbacks coach. Like, so then he was with the Chiefs all last year. So then when Bieniemy leaves for Washington, Nagy just gets promoted to his old job of offensive coordinator. And so, but look, in reality, this offense is Andy Reid's to begin with.
All right. So do we want to start with the offense? Last time these two teams played, it was at Ford Field back in 2019. The Chiefs' victory, 34-30. Lions played them tough. It was an interesting game. There was a fumble on the 1 yard line that was returned all the way, which you know is basically the difference in the game. I believe it was a Kerryon Johnson fumble, if I'm not mistaken, right?
It was right in front of where I sit, and so I saw that ball pop out, and I was like, no, he was down.
There was confusion. And you know, like everybody kind of stopped, and the Chiefs started running with it.
Yeah. Hopefully
nothing like that is the difference maker on Thursday.
Right.
Do you want to go first through the Kansas City offense? Because that'll be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Both sides of the ball are actually be pretty easy. It's one of the most recent teams we've watched play in a non-exhibition style NFL football game.
I was going to say they basically returned everybody except their offensive tackles. They replaced both of them, but we can get to them in a second.
All right. Quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. Really does nothing we have to say about him. He's the best player in the NFL. You know, he showed it in the Super Bowl. He shows it week in and week out. So we don't have to say much about him. Does lose Chad Henne, who helped them get to the Super Bowl. Led that long night. Was that a 98-yard drive in the divisional round? That wasn't in the AFC Championship game, right? That was in the division.
No, it was not.
Well, it was in the AFC
Championship? No, it was not in the championship game. Yeah, no, okay. So it was in the
divisional round. But they have Blaine Gabbert as the backup, and hopefully we won't see Blaine Gabbert at all. If the Lions win, I want to see Mahomes out there for all four quarters, right?
Like, well, the Lions want that too.
Right.
Yeah, the Lions want them to be healthy. Yeah, exactly.
Running back Isaiah Pacheco, who had a big playoffs, had a good regular season, seventh round draft pick out of Rutgers.
Yep.
They also bring back Jerick McKinnon and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those are the three running backs.
Yeah, I think Pacheco is the better of the bunch. Edwards-Helaire, you know, was a first round draft pick a couple of years ago. A guy they had high hopes for. He's just kind of a rotational guy at this point. But Pacheco will be the guy when they hand the ball off, it's more than likely going to be to him.
All right. The receiving core, Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore. Those are the starters. It's not an intimidating receiving core, but it's not bad. You know, they traded for Toney last year from the Giants. Mm-hmm. Valdez-Scantling came around from, you know, he was a long-time Packer. So, you know, he knows the Lions. He's got a feel for the Lions. You know, he did have 42 receptions last year. You know, he's no slouch. Moore was he's who they're kind of looking for, at least, and many football analysts are looking at Moore as like, this is the guy that's going to be ascending. This is like the future target for Mahomes.
With no Mecole Hardman anymore, Sky Moore has kind of slipped into that role. Second round pick from a year ago, and guy with upside. Toney is injured. He missed most of training camp with an injury, and he's coming back this week, and they're expecting that he should be available, but I don't know how much he's going to be contributing because he's only been practicing a little bit. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Toney because he is arguably their best receiver, like wide receiver. And if Kelsey actually isn't playing, and then if Toney actually isn't playing, it's a whole different set of offensive weapons. Sky Moore and Scandling, Valdez-Scandling are you know, going to be the top guys at that point. Your third receiver might be Rashee Rice, who was a rookie in a second round rookie this year, who I thought was a really good upside rookie, but I don't know if he's like, he's not necessarily a starter right now, in my opinion. And then you got a couple of other receivers that have, like, you know, were good college players, like Justin Ross, who just haven't really done much in the pros. And then I think Richie James is probably going to be their punt returner and kick returner. I don't know how much Ricky James is actually going to contribute, but they got a lot of names and they got a lot of guys who are decent. They don't have a game breaker, but the game breaker is their tight end and their quarterback. And they've been fine, you know, getting by with that, but it's a couple of years since they've had Tyreek Hill, and then now they don't have Mecole Hardman. And so the philosophy, right? Like, that's the thing, is they don't need elite wide receivers. They just need guys who can catch and run. And like, so, and they're going to try and just load up as many of those guys as they can.
And Hardman wasn't an elite guy either, but he was that deep threat.
No.
But you kind of mentioned, like, even if Tony goes out, and even with Tony, you kind of look at that group. It's like, well, the Lions, you know, the Lions match up well with that. But at the same time, it's like, look who's throwing to them. Like, it doesn't really matter who they are.
Right.
Like, they got the best guy throwing them. All right. So tight end Travis Kelce, who's going to be you would argue, not necessarily a matchup nightmare for the Lions. The Lions have made moves in the off season and, you know, kind of had one guy in house. Like, they have kind of like three guys to throw at him. And maybe even if you want to throw Jack Campbell at him. Right.
Well, I was going to say, you can match up with him with Gardner Johnson, Brian Branch, Will Harris, Tracy Walker.
Okay, so you're saying Walker.
I was going to say Tracy. You could put Tracy out there. But again, Tracy's not a starter right now. And I don't think you're going to put Tracy in that spot. I don't even think you really want to put Will Harris in that spot. Personally, I'd like to see them use Branch and then Gardner Johnson, and then both, like bracket him at times as well. And so that would be ideal. Problem is that when you have speed wide receivers and a quarterback that can do what Mahomes can do, it's tough to bracket coverage Kelce all the time. And that's one of the reasons why he gets open. So it's an almost impossible, you know, task to ask Brian Branch to cover Kelce on his first NFL game. But if you were going to ask a rookie to cover a Pro Bowler of all of the rookies in this last draft class, Brian Branch is probably the guy that you're going to be like, hey, he could probably do it. You know what I mean? Like, he's the one rookie in the NFL right now that I think can step on the field and match up. And we'll see. I think he gives you your best chance. And it's kind of ridiculous, like, that I'm even entertaining that idea, he's their best option.
Ridiculous.
But I think they're going to have to be collectively aggressive. Like, I think they're going to have to use Branch. I think they're going to have to use underneath coverage with a linebacker and brackets Gardner Johnson over the top. I think they're going to have to be, you know, put Gardner Johnson just on him and have him get up in his business and talk some smack. Like, I think they're going to have to throw waves of defenders at Kelce if he plays, and just try and make it difficult for him to figure out, you know, what the Lions are trying to do to guard against him on any particular play.
All right. If Kelce doesn't go, we're going to see a lot of Noah Gray. Last year, 28 receptions, 299 yards, singular touchdown. Half of his receptions did go for first downs. He's a guy who ran for a touchdown, so you'll see him in the backfield, but not if Kelce's hurt. He'll probably be in the Kelce position. So not a super dangerous guy, but a guy that probably will need to be accounted for, and probably, I don't know, maybe the Lions wouldn't have to change their defensive philosophy too much, except for maybe the double bracketing type.
Yeah.
That type of stuff would probably disappear.
Yeah, I think they're going to go in and plan for him to play. right? But if he doesn't play, it's really going to change a lot about what they want to do, right? It just gives, it'll give them a lot more freedom to be more aggressive in the secondary. If he plays, you've got to be a little bit more passive in the secondary, but then, and in turn more aggressive up front. And that's, I think, really, if the Lions are going to win this game, is going to be a big catalyst, is can you unleash Aiden Hutchinson on these, you know, offensive tackles that have only been with this team for an offseason. And the evolution that we've seen from Aiden Hutchinson from year one to year two, he's a lot to handle. And I wonder if either of these guys will be able to handle Aiden. And if they can't, and Aiden starts, you know, wrecking people, it could make, it could change things up a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I think if the defensive line can contain and pressure and squeeze Mahomes, and then you start taking Kelce away with brackets, and it's going to make life a lot harder. And I think that's what you have to go into the game thinking about doing, is contain and squeeze, kind of like what you do, what they did with Justin Fields in week 17 last year. Just that if you can get that contain and squeeze on Mahomes, it just makes it a little bit easier on your secondary, and maybe a little less time for Mahomes to have in the pocket. And it's easier said than done, but I think that's got to be the game plan anyway.
All right. Offensive line from left to right. Donovan Smith comes in to play left tackle. He spent what, the last 8 years or with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Joe Tooney at left guard, Creed Humphrey at center, who would be vying against Frank Ragnow as the, maybe one of the best, if not the best, yeah, center in the NFL. Right, yep, guard is Trey Smith, who was, you know, their longtime starter, was their full-time starter last year. So that those middle three, those are the stalwarts. The, yep, new right tackle, Jawan Taylor.
Yeah, Humphrey, Ragnow, and Jason Kelce, I think, are the top three centers in the NFL. Like, I don't know if there's another center that can really touch those three guys. That's how good Creed Humphrey is. He's an elite player in my mind. And like you just said, Thuney and Smith are really good bookends around him, making that interior three really challenging. You lost Orlando Brown, and you're replacing him with a 30-year-old Donovan Smith, who is coming off the worst year of his career. That's going to be Charles Harris a lot of time. And if he can't handle Charles Harris's speed, it's going to make things interesting. And then Jawan Taylor is replacing Andrew Wiley. And again, Jawan Taylor, I don't think was that, is a downgrade there. It's not as big of a downgrade, but it's still, I think, a downgrade. And that's the guy that they're going to be asking Hutchinson to go up against. And so he is going to have a huge problem on his hands if they don't, you know, ask Kelce to chip block. And if Kelsey's hurt, you're not going to want to chip block Hutchinson with him like that. It's you're going to end up wasting one of your best offensive weapons. But Hutchinson's really been a problem this offseason. And I'm very impressed with what I've seen. And, you know, he hasn't played a snap in the preseason, so I don't think people have seen him yet. But if you're going to get excited for a guy making a second year jump, yeah, look no further than the number two overall pick from last year.
Taylor signed, that's a 4-year, $80 million contract they gave him to come in and be the right.
I don't get it though either. Like his, there's really not much about what he's done over his career that justifies that type of salary, in my opinion. I don't think he's any that special to be, I mean, at that, not $20 million a year special. That's, you know, but that's me.
So I would say going into this game, we'd still be concerned about Kansas City running the ball in between the tackles because of the the ability of their middle three offensive linemen, and still the question marks about our interior defensive line and stopping the run. I think linebacker play is a bit improved, but you know, if they need to have the blockers kept off of them so they can, you know, be visualizing everything that's happened, everything that's developing in the backfield. So I don't know, to me, but that's a concern.
Of course. And that's going to be a concern until they prove it's not. Right. Because that was the biggest concern on the team last year. So I accept that. I agree with that. The linebacker play, I think, is really going to be the key. Can the linebackers fill the gaps fast and proper? And if they can, it'll be interesting. Now, Kansas City's offensive approach, right? They run like a shotgun spread, and they pass a ton in the first half. Like, their passing ratio to pass to run ratio is like 80-20 in the first half. In the second half, it's more 50-50, the pass run split. But in the first half, they throw like 4 out of every 5 downs. Like, that's just the Andy Reid's approach. And so they do this because they want to score, and they want to score fast, and they want to get the lead, and they want to put pressure on the other team to try and fight from behind. And then they go into ball control and you know, game planning in the second half. That's a little bit different, but they really want to come after you in that first half. So the Lions need to come out, you know, with their pass rush ready and their coverage ready. And if they can, you know, it's, again, easier said than done, but if that pass rush can start teeing off, it's one of the reasons why I said earlier, it wouldn't surprise me to see a 4-man front that consists of Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil, John Kaminsky, and Charles Harris, because the Chiefs pass so much, you know, that they might just say, let's just put our passing defensive line out there and attack. And because we think they're going to throw, will they do it? I don't know. You know, will they
at least a little bit, I would assume.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. But that's kind of my gut. Like, Bugs isn't a guy who is a penetrator. Martin isn't necessarily. I don't think Martin's going to get early run. Maybe you get a Levi and a Aleem out there, the original plan for the rebuilding the defensive line, you know, but
right.
I kind of think they're going to use what the Chiefs do against them and try and get their speed unit out there as much as possible. And that could mean John Kaminsky playing inside more. That could mean Josh Pascal playing inside more, just to try and get after Mahomes.
All right, flipping over the defensive side of the ball. This is Steve Spagnuolo's unit. The defensive line, George Karlaftis, Derek Nandi, Chris Jones. Oh, wait a second. Maybe not Chris Jones. We'll see. Maybe they'll surprise us tomorrow or Thursday by saying, all right, the holdout's kind of over. He's going to play. Although he's not ready. You know, he's not going to be ready to play. No. He hasn't been in training camp. I'm sure he's keeping himself in shape. So, likely see Sean Wharton in his place. And then at right defensive end, or on the other opposite side defensive end, Mike Dana, former Wolverine, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for probably 1 year.
Didn't start a game.
No, he did not.
At Michigan. No. He was like,
no. He came from Central?
Yeah, I think so. I was going to say Central. I wasn't 100% sure, but he dominated at Central. He had a ton of sacks. Right?
Yeah, he was really,
they brought
really
him
good
in, and there was some, you know, there was some talk that he's going to be this big time pass rusher. They end up, he ends up not. He plays a little bit, but he wasn't getting tons of snaps. So Karlaftis and Dana, you know, there's guys who had like 5-6 sacks last year. I would think Karlaftis though is in a universe kind of like, Hutchinson, where you know, like, he's not at Hutchinson's level, but I would think his he's gonna have some improvement going into the season, you know, like 6-sack guy last year. Maybe he's trying to push himself to be a 10-sack guy this year. They're gonna need him to do it if Chris Jones is in the ground.
Well, this whole defensive line is almost all of it's altered. Karlaftis is getting the start because he's replacing Carlos Dunlop.
Right.
Mike Dana is getting the start because he's replacing Frank Clark.
Another Michigan man, Frank Clark.
Well, he got kicked out, but still.
Well, hey, still there. They still welcomed him in with open arms at one point.
Right until the end. So Clark's no longer with the team. Dunlop no longer with the team. And they're going with young youth guys as replacement options. Now, they also drafted Felix. I can't pronounce his name. The kid out of TCU. Anudike
Uzoma?
Yeah, the kid out of TCU, right? Or is that Kansas State? TCU or Kansas? I can't remember.
I think he's a Kansas State fellow.
Yeah, thank you. So they drafted him, but he's just going to rotate. He's not necessarily going to be a starter. They're going to lean on Dan a little bit more because he's got more experience on the roster. So they're replacing both defensive ends. And then with no Chris Jones, they're leaning on Wharton. And Wharton tore his ACL last year. So Wharton's still coming off an injury where he only played 150 snaps last year, and his PFF grade was like a 55. Like, he didn't have a very good year last year, and then he tore his ACL, and now they're expecting him to replace Chris Jones. Nandi is the only guy that's returning, and Nandi was arguably the worst player on their defensive line. So their defensive line is not improved. Right. You lost a couple veteran pass rushers. You don't have arguably one of the top five best defensive players in the game. And you're replacing him and them with guys that were replacement players last year, guys that were rotational. Now, Karlaftis is, like you said, he's a former first rounder. He's got a guy who's probably going to take a next step, and he's probably going to be okay.
Developing guy.
Yeah, but I'm not confident in Dan. I'm not confident in Wharton. And if the Lions' offensive line is what we think it is, there's hay to be made by pushing these guys around. And the Lions are going to want to control the football. They're going to want to run the ball, because the longer you hold on to the ball, the longer, or you know, the less Patrick Mahomes has the ball. And that's what you want. That's what every team that plays the Chiefs wants. They want Patrick Mahomes to not have the ball and to hold on to it themselves. And so that means you got to run. And that means you're going to attack and probably run right, right? You're going to run right at Dana and Wharton, and you're going to try and let Sewell just jump all over Dana and try and create holes. The Lions offensive line versus the Chiefs defensive line is arguably the biggest mismatch in this game. I think they should be able to push that defensive line around. Now, again, when you look on paper, the Lions offensive line is way better. At the same time, there's a reason that the Chiefs going out and trying to, you know, buy another defensive end in free agency, or trying to draft. Now that they spent a couple first rounders on them, but they'd be playing those first rounders a little bit more. So I think this is the spot where, if the Lions offense is going to win this game, they're going to have to take advantage of a Chris Jones-less defensive line.
All right, linebacker core, I am kind of confused by ESPN's layout here, but because they show Willie Gay, Jack Cochran, Leo Chenal as the starters, but
no.
Bolton and Drew Tranquil have to be in the starting. Bolton is, you know,
it's going
to
be Bolton and Gay.
Just Bolton and Gay and a two-man. Drew Tranquil came from the Chargers last year. He's a guy who had 146 tackles last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to be a supplemental guy for the Chiefs. Like, Bolton and Gay are really fast. They're the returning starters from last year. Bolton is highly underrated. And both him and Gay are fast and can cover. The thing with this Chiefs defense is they're much better in their back seven than in their front seven. And Gay and Bolton are guys that, you know, they're a little bit more undersized, but they're faster, and so they're more new-aged. And again, if the defensive line is struggling, they're not the type of linebackers that are going to be able to come downhill and, like, help out, you know, to help overcome a struggling defensive line, which is why, again, I think the Lions are really going to try and establish the run in this game, because it's going to be a lot easier for them to find success that way than trying to throw against the Chiefs, because Bolton and Gay are good in coverage. And so they can drop into zones. They're fast so that they can cover a lot of space, and you're going to have much smaller windows, especially the way that the Lions operate in that kind of short to mid intermediate area. These linebackers are good enough to shorten the windows on Goff. So if you can establish the run, you start getting them pinching up, you can pinch them up, then you can kind of, you know, start taking advantage of that over the field middle that St. Brown, you know, thrives in. And that's really, that's how I would approach it if I was Ben Johnson. I'm going to try and run and get those linebackers sneaking up, and then just start hitting them right over the top of the linebackers underneath the safeties with St. Brown. You know, that's, I think, the easiest way to and just nickel and dime them. Keep possession, drain the clock, march it down, make things count. Don't get risky with the ball. Make sure passes. And if the linebackers close down windows, that's okay. Just live to fight another day.
Cornerbacks, Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson on the outside. Legarius Sneed, though, listed as questionable.
Sneed and McDuffie will flip back and forth between outside, inside. Sneed ended up playing a lot more outside at the end of the year, and McDuffie spent a little bit more time inside. McDuffie versus St. Brown is a good matchup. McDuffie, former first round pick in 2022, came out of Washington. So him and St. Brown had probably faced off against each other in college. I haven't looked it up. I'm just speculating because they both played in the Pac-12, right? But it would make sense that they would have had some games against each other. So maybe they're familiar with one another. If they are, I'm sure St. Brown has a chip on his shoulder for some reason about McDuffie that he'll use to motivate himself. But I think that's going to be one of the key matchups to watch is, can St. Brown get the better of McDuffie? Sneed's good. Watson not as. So, you know, I'd attack Watson before I'd attack Sneed. But like you said, Sneed is injured, and he's a guy who hasn't been playing like Kadarius Toney for most of training camp. And if he's not available, they don't really have great backups. They got a couple rookie backups, and it's just, they're not as deep on defense. Like their starting secondary is good. Watson might be, you know, number seven of their back seven, but at the same time, the rest of those guys are all really good. Sneed's good. McDuffie's good. And, you know, like we just talked about the linebackers. So if you're going to pick on a guy who's maybe if you're trying to do man, you probably would go after Watson. But even then, you know, it's going to be tough to throw because their defensive scheme, these corners and defensive backs, they're pretty good. They're pretty sticky.
Safeties are Justin Reed and Brian Cook. Cook will replace Juan Thornhill.
Yeah. So Cook was a second round pick last year. He was a guy that I think was in the conversation right around the Kirby Joseph. Will he go when Kirby Joseph was, they actually went and got him way earlier than Kirby. I had them kind of ranked similar. I thought both of them had a chance to go into third round. So him going in the second speaks to how much they think of him. Justin Reed is, so they'll run a lot of the same looks that the Lions run. And so when they go to single high, Cook will drop back and into the single high slot, and then Reed will drop into the slot. So you could see Reed trying to match up against Laporta, which could make Laporta's day a bit more challenging. But they may actually flip him and try and keep Reed back a little bit more because he's a little bit more experienced. At the same time, you know, like I said, you're confident in Cook and you drafted him where he did for a reason. So maybe just put him out there and run your defense the way you want. So good defense, good secondary overall. And you're going to have to be really strategic and careful with the football. They don't cause a lot of turnovers, like I said, they're good about making things, those windows, hard to throw through.
Special teams. Place kickers Harrison Butker made 75% of his field goals last year, has a big leg, made a 62-yarder. He's a good kicker. And I think everybody's okay. Kind of well. Yeah, he's okay.
He's got good. A good leg. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Tommy Townsend, first team all good. Pro punter last year.
Yeah, he's good. So
solid. You mentioned, is it Ricky James or Richie James?
Richie.
Okay, Richie James. Yeah. It is spelled Richie, but I thought maybe it's Ricky. Richie James brought in, likely going to be the return man.
Yeah.
Pacheco returned kicks, but it looks like his role is going to be more as the number one running back.
Yes.
Sky Moore returned some punts, but, you know, as we talked earlier, his role as receiver is expanding, so we'll be looking at James as the return man, right? James Winchester as the long snapper. Very fancy name on the long snapper.
Yeah, you know, that's for the most part. They have a couple of guys on IR. Oh, we didn't even mention Charles Amenahue is also suspended. He's another guy that would have been a replacement on that defensive line that probably would have got in there earlier. So it's not like they just lost their starters. They lost a couple of high reserves as well, either to free agency or a suspension in this case. So I really think the defensive line is where the Lions are going to make their make the most noise, being able, if they can push them around and control that football.
Up to the minute, the last time I checked, Kansas City was favored by 6.5, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, who is not a sponsor of ours, by the way. The line has dropped to Kansas City -5.5.
Yeah, it did that at DraftKings too, because DraftKings sponsors some of the posts I write, not our podcast, but I was checking that. No, I was checking that for our for one of my posts. But yeah, it dropped down to 5.5 with them as well. So I think that's probably, I mean, it was close enough that they moved the line after the Kelce news. So I'm sure that's what drove it, but it could also be a bunch of people, you know, changing bets or betting on the Lions that moved that line as well after they heard Kelce was injured.
Over under 52.5. Goff and Mahomes once played a really wild Monday night football game that was originally supposed to be played down in Mexico City, but due to the fact that, like, it was such a big game, they moved it back up north.
Claimed
that the Mexico City turf was in bad
shape, right?
Which may or may not have been true. Who knows? So that was like that both teams were in the 40s in that game. If not, one of them was in the 50s.
It was 54-51. That was the final.
Oh, okay. And then and Goff came out on top.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Goff threw for 4 touchdowns and ran a touchdown in himself. So he had 5 touchdowns that game, Goff by himself.
One of the great Monday night football games of all time. So 52.5, kind of. It's not a low over-under, you know, especially for week one of the NFL season.
It feels low,
Vegas
though.
Always knows something. You know, right. They want you to bet the over, but because, you know, nobody wants to root for a low-scoring. Well, there are some people out there who root for a low-scoring game. But, you know, people want to root for excitement if they're gambling for the most part. One concern I have for this game, we're going to talk about our predictions for the game. The one big concern I have for this game is that, you know, a big chunk of the starters didn't play a single snap during the preseason. And I know you'll stress that they played ones versus ones in practice. I don't know. Game's a game. Mm-hmm. The Lions started 1-6 last year, you know, and they played 3 games total, but 2 of them in that 1-6 start where they didn't show up, you know, and it's a concern. It's a concern that they're not going to be ready. You know, hopefully not. I mean, they are well aware of the magnitude of this game, right? This is every eye is going to be on them. You know, like they better show up to play. But there is a concern that they haven't been out there. What happens if they come out rusty? They got to get over that in a hurry.
Yeah, I get that trepidation. I don't have that same feeling, I think, as you anticipated.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Well, because it is, you know, like you hear the same thing over and over. You see the intensity that they practice with during the joint practices. And you recognize that they legitimately are getting more work in those joint practices than they would in any 3 series of a preseason game. So you run 2 joint practices. That's a lot of work. And so I'm not overly worried. I do get worried about the rust because they haven't played competitively in, you know, in a while. At the same time, I think that's just the way the schedule is built, right? Because you have this like two-week period between your preseason and then your game one. And so I think the rust is going to be there regardless of if they play in the preseason or not. It's like when teams rest their starters at the end of the year and then they come out rusty in the playoffs because of it, right? Like that couple of weeks of non-competitiveness, it tends to make everybody rusty. So I'm not overly worried. I do understand the concern that a lot of people have with that, though.
All right. Well, let's start picking.
Okay. I have not. I don't even know.
You could be totally wrong, Eric. We got to do this. I know. Do this every year.
No,
no. You want to splice it in later?
No. We got to pick it. I just don't have any. I don't have a good feeling on this either way. I spend the day writing my Honolulu blueprint for the website where I'm talking about like how to take advantage, and then we spend this podcast focusing on like how you can take advantage of the Chiefs' weaknesses. And so I end up talking myself into like, oh, they could win. Like they really could win.
49-14 Lions victory.
So I do this to myself all the time. I believe you won again last year, like the whole shebang, right?
Yep.
I know I need to be smarter about my picks and not get so emotionally wrapped up
years behind now.
In what I'm selling. I know. We tied so many years too.
We did tie 2 years.
Silliness.
You won 1 year?
Yeah, but I think you've won three.
3 years?
Yeah. Then we've tied twice.
Right.
But,
that's up.
So I think I'm going to make you go first while I try. That whole long spiel, I guess, was just me stalling. And I'm going to make you go first so I can stall a little longer and figure it out.
I had a number in my head. Looking at the over under, though, makes me concerned. Yeah. 52.5, because mine was Chiefs 31-27.
Oh, okay.
I figure both teams are going to be able to score and be a nice high scoring game. But now that 52.5 makes me think it's going to be a lower scoring game because they're usually right. But I'm going to that was my gut feeling. I'm going to stick with the Chiefs 31-27. It's their opening night. You know, they're at home. Like it's going to be a raucous crowd. They still, you know, Mahomes will be out there proving he's the best player in the game. They're going to try to slow down the Lions hype freight train. You know, and I think they'll be successful at it. And hopefully the Lions keep it in the game. Hopefully the Lions win. But if they don't, hopefully it's like tight coming down to the wire and, you know, the Chiefs end up pulling it out.
Well, my initial gut feeling was the same, and I was trying to talk myself out of it. I was actually 1 point off from where you were.
Go for it.
But I actually think that you'll like that the 1 point direction that I'm off, because I'm actually going slightly over what you have. And I had in my mind, I had 31-28.
Okay.
The Chiefs winning. So I'm expecting a slight, you know, so maybe if Vegas is right, you'll end up winning this week because you'll have the lower score prediction. But that was the gut number that kind of stuck in my head. I'm with you. I think there's so much going for the Chiefs that there's the smart money is to bet on them winning it. At the same time, I do think this is a winnable game. It's a game that I've been dreading, you know, since before the schedule was even released, where I was like, I didn't want this game. It's not something that I wanted for the Lions to have to face the champs right out the gate, but they seem more prepared for it than I was anticipating. Their focus is there. Chiefs have more weaknesses than I was anticipating. And so this game, my perception on this game has changed over the last 6 months. And I do think it's winnable. I'm going to play it safe, though, and pick the Chiefs to win. But this is a this is a game where if the Lions win, it could really set the tone. And so I will absolutely be pulling for it, even though my prediction goes against it.
We both hope we're wrong. Whenever we pick the Lions to lose, we always hope we're wrong. And so who knows? We'll find it. We're both very excited for Thursday. And if you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure you're just as excited as me and Eric. Ratings. We had a little bump on Apple Podcasts for 449. So Eric, Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Angels. He's a two-way baseball player. I know you don't follow these other sports as much as you used to with your career. But he he's got some oblique injury. He has a partial tear of his ulnar collateral ligament, right?
Okay.
So that will not allow him to be a blank for the rest of the season. What position will he not be able to play the rest of the season?
Well, will who not be able to play?
Ohtani.
Okay.
Do you know who Shohei Ohtani? This is a disaster already.
Okay.
He's a hitter blank.
Yeah.
He's a hitter
Isn't he a pitcher? Wasn't he a pitcher?
Yeah. There you go. Okay. There's the word.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Right. Pitcher.
Yes.
Say you and I wanted to be in a photograph together. We would take a
photograph. Oh, a pitcher. Yeah. Oh,
there was some concern about the way you pronounced those two words. And I took way too long of a route.
I apparently have an accent that comes out, and I don't pronounce words properly. And so
I don't pronounce names properly. Probably several words as well.
Yes. We got a review about my articulation skills.
It was a glowing review.
It was nice.
Great glowing backhanded review.
I laughed at it because I was like, oh man, I didn't even recognize. I know when I listen back there's plenty of things that I don't like about what I say. So I just add it to the list of things that I think I can improve on.
But it was a good review. It's 5-star. Oh, yeah. We really appreciate it. Yeah, we had some fun with it. And that was
for sure.
They had to point that out. Spotify, I can't get it to load. I got Spotify to load, but it's not showing the number of reviews. But we've had a bump in that recently, and we appreciate everybody reviewing us. Hopefully you keep reviewing us up. And I don't know. Do you have anything to add?
No, I'm excited. You know, I think like there's going to be so much anticipation surrounding this. Like my concern is if they win that people are going to minimize it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think if they win, they'll deserve, you know, what they got. Right.
Right.
Like the Lions are like, if Kelsey doesn't play, yeah, that stinks. But you know what? Like Jameson Williams isn't available either. Like everybody's got injury issues. Everybody's got suspensions. Like both these teams have suspended players. Like there's you go out, you play the game, you win the game. And so you can't use, you know, guys missing as excuses. And so I hope if the Lions win that doesn't happen. At the same time, if the Lions lose, you know, I hope that people aren't jumping ship. I know though not a lot of national people will, but you know, I don't expect a lot of the locals to really be like abandoning this team because they're really in a good position, I think, to make a good sustained run at the division and at the playoffs.
The impossible dream season is upon us. There's, you know, three outcomes to an NFL season for any team. You lose your last game, whether that's in the regular season or the playoffs. You win your last game, but you don't make the playoffs, which the Lions were in the situation last year, which was bittersweet. Or you win the Super Bowl. Winning the Super Bowl is quite a stretch, but let's hope they end their – hey, let's just hope whatever happens, it's good. I won't even get into saying that's still a negative finish if they end up losing the playoffs, but that's more realistic. But you know, hey, can't wait.
I'm excited.
For Thursday, it's gonna be.
I'm excited.
It's gonna be something we've never experienced before. Lions playing on opening night, one of the teams that is seen as, you know, a contender. You know, it's a fringe contender to win the Super Bowl or be in the Super Bowl, but a contender to make the playoffs and make some noise. So we've been waiting years for this. That's it.
It's the toughest team on the schedule, and you're going to face them right off the bat. So
we'll see what they're made of.
Yeah, exactly. And the season won't be lost.
Right. No matter what. Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
It won't. And if they win, it won't be
Super Bowl. Not the end of the world easy. Yeah, it's not. They haven't won the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Still got a long way to go either way. Yep. But I look forward to the overreactions on Friday.
Yeah. No, that'll be exciting.
And we'll talk about it before the Seahawks as well.
All right. That's it. That's all we got for this week. So until next time, let's go Lions.